Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Kevin this week is driving a Ford F-150, the signature truck of all trucks.
Yeah, it's been the number one selling truck for 37 straight years. They have 75 of them in stock right now with $7,500 off, starting as low as $22,859. And if you didn't get a chance to see it, go onto my Facebook page and check out the Ford F-150 Lariat. I have a picture of it. It has all the information. And stop by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury. See how they can put you in one of those, because they are the number one F-150 dealer in the entire Philly region for three consecutive years. 75 of them to choose from on the lot. Everything from an XL to the Raptor.
It made you feel powerful.
I did. I did feel a little bit, I hate to use the term, but I felt a little more manly. I did. I know that's wrong, but I did.
It's nothing wrong about feeling manly, Kevin. It goes with the terror.
It's something new. I just, you know, I haven't had that. I missed that. There must have been something because I missed it. And I hear Bob laughing hysterically. What did I miss?
I said, how was the transition?
Oh, thank you.
Line of the day, if not the week. And those air-conditioned seats are working out for you, Kevin?
On a day like today, they're really good.
Yes.
Probably want to do the show from the air-conditioned seats of the Ford F-150.
Ooh, I hadn't thought about that.
Not only that, you could be on the show and feel manly at the same time.
Yeah.
I knew I was going to regret saying that. I just
knew. Yeah, yeah. Well, that was open the door, wide open. Here it comes. Thank you, what? Steve.
I mean,
for the
I was trying to get open up Word and find the thesaurus and come up with a better one, but I didn't have enough time.
No offense, but we do this in the same spot every day. All right. That's all at Sunbury Motors. And by the way, whether it happens to be routine maintenance or something else that needs to be taken care of, don't forget about the Sunbury Motors Service Department. They are outstanding.
Quick Lane's my favorite.
Yep. Quick Lane. And so at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. You okay there?
I'm great.
Okay. So I want to make sure. Because, I mean, you know, you've been a little different on this show since you started driving the truck. You've been a little more
manly. Is that where you're going?
The old testosterone level has really been doubled, I think.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about recruiting here. We'll bring in Greg Pickle from Fight On State. And, Greg, I know here in State College, for example, Bishop McDevitt tomorrow night is scheduled to take on State College. A little bit of the shine on that game has been taken off for area fans, as you well know.
Yeah, it's disappointing. Andre Robinson, the Penn State commit and running back, of course, from Harrisburg, Bishop McDevitt, he's going to be out for that game. I would suspect a couple more weeks with a bone bruise, but he did get checked out today. You know, everything is going to be okay from Penn State's perspective. I mean, there's not a whole lot to worry about. But for his high school team, yeah, I mean, he's obviously an integral piece of that team, and they're going to be without him tomorrow night. So kind of disappointing for sure.
Greg, tell us a little bit about what cycle, you know, there's dead periods, contact periods, so forth. You know, let everybody know right now where they are in the cycle.
Yeah, so right now, Steve, we're at the evaluation period. And what that means, of course, is that Penn State's coaches can get out on the road. Now, of course, with the season, it's a little tough. But so they'll head out this Friday. Home games will generally head out. And I think what you'll see tomorrow night is hitting around the state. Of course, somebody will be at State High. I would expect them to be somewhere in the mid-Penn down in the Harrisburg area. But they're also allowed to make phone calls to seniors and contact juniors and other kids like that on social media. So it's a busy time of year. You mix this recruiting with the season, and what really it comes down to is it's a relationship-building time of year. Brent Pry talked about that a little bit this morning on his conference call, and that's what these guys are doing, and they're good at it. So it's a busy time of year, but good time of year for this staff.
Yeah, it is. What kind of inroad? We've seen some, but it's not just 15, but you have to recruit ahead. What are you sensing in terms of 16 as to what they've been doing in making inroads? Because you have to balance the roster positionally, too.
Right. Well, when we talked back in the spring, Steve, one of the things we hit on was the fact that the staff has been able to identify sophomores at the times, now are juniors. They were able to identify those guys really early, especially in Pennsylvania. They did an outstanding job of finding the best players of that age of the class of 2016 in Pennsylvania. So what you're seeing now is a concentrated effort to fill out the class of 2015, and that adds a whole other element to this because Penn State has such a big 2015 class already. They're not spending as much time on drawing guys into that class. They know who their top targets are, and that's not to say they won't spend any time looking for potential new targets, but for the most part, the top targets of this 2015 class are filed away. They're committed to this class verbally, much like Andre Robinson is, and because of that, they're going to be able to see a lot more 2016 and 2017 guys this fall, and that's huge. I mean, it's weird to say that these kids, these high school kids that are so focused on winning a state title, you know, really stop and pause and realize that a coach is there, but they do. And it becomes even more of a bigger fact afterwards when a coach messages a kid and they can talk about specifics, and then you get the college coach giving the kid tips and real life tips based on plays they saw in person. And that's huge from a relationship standpoint. You really can't replicate it any other time of the year than you can during the fall evaluation period. And Penn State knows who it wants to go see. It'll be able to do that. And what I'm curious to see is if they do what Bill O'Brien and his staff did during road games, was that they would get into town and some of the coaches would go see kids in other states. And that's something, obviously, that you would think James Franklin and his staff, as innovative and as up-to-date as they are, all things will do. And that's obviously another thing that it's something where you have to plan ahead and you have to make sure you have all your ducks in a row so when you get off the flight you can meet for a little bit and go to a high school game in a different state. But it's something I think they'll be able to do and do successfully.
They have a lot of high-profile guys in the class of 2015. Discuss the process of constantly making sure that they are on board so that the first Wednesday of February shows up and that name's on the dotted line.
Well, that's the beautiful thing about this class, Steve. It's so low maintenance, and it's because they keep account of each other, the commits do. I mean, this is a group that within 2-3 months of most of them signing, they had a group text message going, and they kept in contact almost every day. They still do right now. Obviously, it's tough with everyone in season and schoolwork and whatnot, but these guys are tight-knit. And if anything's going on, there's a fair chance to say the players are going to know about it all well before the coaches do. And I think that's good because these guys not only communicate with the staff and trust the staff, but they also communicate and trust each other. And at the end of the day, that's exactly what you have to do when you get a class in this early, is make sure that they're holding each other accountable and not swaying and not looking into other visits. And on top of that, if they are looking into other visits, 9 times out of 10, you know, they're going to tell a peer of theirs why they're doing it and tell the coaching staff something different. I don't think that surprises anybody. And because these guys are all close friends, you know, you might get 3-4 guys talking to the one guy thinking about taking a visit, and then you get all these different perspectives on why it's happening, what Penn State can do to make the kid feel more comfortable, so on and so forth. And that's something that Penn State's going to reap the benefit of this fall and this winter when these kids sign, because they have so many ways of really getting into the thought process of these kids. It's impressive. This group is tight. 2013, of course, Adam Brenneman, Christian Hackenberg, that class was very tight. The class they signed last year was tight, but, you know, obviously with the guys that came on so late in the process, there was a bit of a feeling out point with the new guys James Franklin had brought in compared to the guys Bill O'Brien had already taken verbal commitments from. But this class has been full go since day one. A lot of these guys knew each other before they verbally committed, and you know, the coaches will have to do some work to keep these guys in line, but the commits themselves will do the bulk majority of it.
Initial home game coming up this weekend. Who do you expect to see up here?
Yeah, I think we're going to see a lot of verbal commits, Steve. I think Shane Simmons from DeMatha will be up here. He's going to bring with him a big-time 2016 offensive tackle, J.P. Yerkwood, is both of DeMatha Catholic down in Maryland. Andre Robinson, who we spoke about earlier, is expected to stick around after they play at State High Friday night. You know, some of the other verbal commits will be coming up. I believe Manny Bowen, the linebacker, is coming up. Steven Gonzalez, the tackle out of New Jersey, is considering guard tackle out of New Jersey is considering it. I'm not sure if he's made a decision yet. I haven't got to check in with him yet today. But, you know, the first game's always tough because, you know, guys get beat up on Friday night, and then they have to turn around. And for mostly everyone that wants to come, to drive at least 2 hours to State College to see a game at noon, which means they probably have to be up about, you know, 6, 7 o'clock in the morning. So the turnaround early in the season for these out-of-conference noon kicks is generally enough to keep guys away from those games and come to games later in the season. So I think we'll see a lot of verbal commits that bring some teammates. You know, there's always some local schools, the Altoonas, the Tyrones and whatnot, that send some kids up, you know, of the walk-on variety. So I think that's generally what we'll see for this game, with maybe a few big names that decide to come, you know, Thursday night, Friday morning, and so on and so forth.
Greg Pickle of Fight On State joining us. And, Greg, you, of course, like everyone else, watched the opener. What were your thoughts on the first James Franklin Penn State football team that we had at least a chance to watch in action?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it could have went any better. I mean, obviously, there's some things they're going to need to clean up. Their running offense is going to need to be figured out. You know, there were some times where the coverage seemed to be a little bit confused and whatnot. But all things considered, I mean, if you're looking for a way to draw, you know, the 107,000 people James Franklin has continually drilled into everyone's head since he got here, you know, I don't think there's a better way to do it than go to a foreign country, win on a last-second field goal, and say, hey, come see this show in person next week. So I thought that, you know, obviously there probably didn't need to be the late game dramatics. You know, obviously Penn State, you know, seemed to have control of the game. The statistics say that they did, but they weren't able to punch the ball across. You know, so the field goal to touchdown ratio in the red zone is going to have to improve. But I was impressed. You know, I expected a lot out of Bob Shoop and the defense, and I thought I saw everything I expected to see and maybe a little bit more. You know, the linebackers looked very good. The defensive line has been the talk of the week. And even the secondary, where people really weren't sure what was going to go on besides Adrian Amos and Jordan Lucas. You know, I thought we saw some good spots from Trevor Williams. I thought Daquan Davis, who didn't really play much at all last year, looked pretty good in most of the opportunities he had. And you have some young guys like Grant Haley that is just explosive as a kick returner. And you know, I don't think I'm going out on too far of a limb here to say he's probably going to house one before the season's over.
Yeah. He certainly has a feel for it to go with the acceleration, no question about it, Greg. Also, the fact that a Grant Haley is out there, that Marcus Allen was out there, among a handful of freshmen playing the initial game, and you know, the door is still open to other guys playing as freshmen. On the recruiting part of it, does early playing time enter into it for some guys?
Oh, without question. And let's focus on Marcus Allen, who you bring up, for a second. Marcus is a guy that is connected to, you know, just about everybody in Maryland and the DMV through Prime Example, the training group run by Troy Vincent Jr. and Roman Morris, who, of course, is Stephon Morris's dad. Wow. And the fact that he got on the field in the first game, you know, that made kids in Maryland and that area of the country take notice, that this kid worked his butt off in high school, worked his butt off in camp, came in the summer and got on the field the first game he was here. You know, that's the tangible things that when a coach is telling you early playing time is available, some kids are like, great, and some kids are like, yeah, I'd like to see it in action. And they got to see it in action. They got to see an Atlanta kid in Grant Haley, you know, have a terrific day returning the football. They got to see a couple Maryland kids, but Marcus Allen's the one that sticks out to me returning, or not returning, but in the special teams work and whatnot. I mean, that's exactly what you want to have when you're pitching the kids the idea of early playing time, because they get to see it. It's in the participation report. It's on TV. It's on the kids that played on their social media feeds. I mean, for some kids, playing early is huge. I mean, that sometimes overrules coaching staffs and location and maybe a lot of other things that generally are considered more important for a lot of kids in their decisions. Some of them, early playing time tops the list. And to see those guys on the field so early obviously only helps Penn State continue to sell that as they work back through the sanctions and depth issues.
Yeah, and that's 72 scholarship guys on this team, so they're 13 shy of everybody else. Is that part actually works to Penn State advantage at the moment with the expanding the numbers that they'll be able to get down the line, but also because of the possibility of early playing time?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think when you look at what Penn State's selling kids, they're selling a package. They're selling early playing time because of depth issues. They're selling a chance to stay close to home and win with all of these guys that you grew up playing against and with in some cases. They're selling this new vision of the program that is something that, you know, James Franklin has crafted really since he got here on day one when he brought up the dominate the state stuff. And you put all of it together with an exciting young coaching staff and a town, of course, in State College that just oozes everything Penn State football. And that's what they're really trying to sell kids on. And it appeals to kids, obviously, with the success they've had recruiting so far. And I think it's just one part of the package when you get those guys on the field. But obviously, it's just a part of that. And when they sell kids on, you know, just one of those things, it's a foot in the door. And then when they sell them on the other four or five, you know, that's usually when you see that kid commit to Penn State.
Greg, what is a weekend like this? It's the first weekend of the season. So give everyone an idea what your weekend is like and how you try to maximize it. So on Fight On State, you give everyone max information.
Absolutely. So Thursday, I mean, throughout the week, we'll start working on a visitors list, but it really doesn't become firm, especially this early in the season. It doesn't become firm until really this afternoon, tomorrow morning, even tomorrow night when guys get off the field and, you know, they how they feel, whether they're too banged up or not to travel. So, you know, we start with a small visitors list Wednesday and Thursday, guys that are coming no matter what. That's mostly commitments. You know, we'll try and do at least one or two stories on the big names coming. This week, it's the Yerquidiz kid out of Damascus Catholic. He's our focus guy of the group that'll be here this weekend. So we'll preview his trip and why he wants to come. And then Friday, we'll post some notes and post a visitors list as much as we have at least. And then Saturday, it's go time. You know, Saturday is the day we get to see who actually makes it. And then after the game, you know, but during the game, it kind of stops. They're watching the game. We're watching the game. There's not much going on. Saturday evening, we'll do a rundown of all the kids that were there. We'll highlight, you know, the big names that were there and why it's important that they're there and try and get as many quotes as we can. Sometimes that's more important, say, after Penn State wins in four overtimes than it is after they, you know, potentially blow out a team in non-conference. But and then Sunday, it's just recapping everything. Why, you know, what did this guy think about the game? What did that guy think about the game? How did Penn State help itself by hosting such a prospect for the game? And then we roll back into it, you know, on Monday with a full recap of the weekend, a look ahead. We will go back and see where Penn State visited Friday night and what inroads they may have made there. And then Tuesday, James Franklin speaks, and a whole new week starts from the recruiting standpoint. So that's kind of a rundown of what we do. Obviously, there's some features every day, usually on a different recruit Penn State's pursuing. But that's sort of the gist of it, Monday through Sunday.
That's why we all enjoy reading all of your work, Greg. Appreciate it very much. Greg Pickle, Fight On State. We'll come back with more in a moment. Kevin Herr's analysis of the interview and a total breakdown as he heard it.
I'm not going to have a total breakdown. I'm fine.
And a total breakdown at 4. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, gotta go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
Had a great comment on, is it Facebook, email, I don't know what,
email,
what the
yeah.
source of email, from Barb in Shamokin. And she said, do you think that the human interest stories and background info might be done to appeal to the women in the viewing audience, nearly 40% of the audience? And Barb, I think you make an excellent point. And I do, and I understand exactly what, and I think when I was talking about in the opening 15 minutes or so, I said, look, I'm probably different than how as to how I view it compared to somebody else. Because, you know, I'm in it, I'm around it all the time. And I think Barb makes a really good point about the human interest stories and the background and that appealing to women and to Kevin.
Everything's appealing to me.
I believe an entire new can of worms just opened.
Listen, I can't win, so I figure I might as well play along.
How do you like that Ford F-150 from Sunbury Motors?
I love that Ford F-150 from Sunbury Motors, and it'll be back there tomorrow afternoon. If you'd like to take a test drive over the weekend, just go visit Jeff Clark, because time's running out to get that $7,500 off.
We'll talk more about Barb's comment in the next half hour, because I thought what she said has incredible merit. And then we'll get back to how manly Kevin feels.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
So you're going to go to the corn maze on Sunday, and you're going to do what?
I said I may go to the Cole Stony Hill Tree Farm corn maze, but I'll also make sure we tag our Christmas tree while we're there. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking that sounds crazy, but it's not crazy at all. If you think about it, this makes complete and total sense, because it's going to be nice and warm, and while everybody's walking around looking for their perfect tree, and it's 10 degrees outside, all I'm going to do is chop it down, drag it down, and go home. This is brilliant.
It's September.
Yeah.
Oh, wrong microphone. Sorry, it's September. Kevin, Christmas, last time I checked, usually somewhere between the 20th and 30th of December.
Well, I mean, think about it. I mean, it'll be nice and warm. The tree's going to be there in December. It's like it's going to go anywhere. Now I'm going to make sure I have the perfect tree, and I have the selection before everybody else gets a chance. It's a brilliant idea.
Except if somebody goes out, takes your tag off the tree and cuts it down for themselves.
Well, Never heard of that happening before, Bob.
You guys have no faith in humanity, do you?
No, we've actually lived. Yeah. All right, Dave in Sunbury. Hi, Dave. Welcome to the show. Great to have you with us.
Hi, Steve. No faith in
humanity. How are you, Dave?
No, you just do a full reality.
Hey, that's that big deal. I mean, Kevin's sitting there, and he's believing. I mean, there are sugar plum fairies that are going to protect the tree.
Okay. Several things, real quick, like, that whole show for Fran Fischer and Lou Preder.
Yes.
That was excellent.
Thank you. We appreciate you saying that very much.
And you and Jack are the best
dynamic duo
out there.
Well, thank you. That's very kind of you to say. Thank you.
And now, it's real shame that you got to go to another country. I've been on this earth for 60 years and 2 months, and that's the best Star Spangled Banner I ever heard.
I'll say this, the pregame ceremony, and you know, for the most part, with me, pregame ceremony is okay. Let's go. Where's the kickoff? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. There's only one other I ever saw that I thought was better than that. And that's when the B-2 stealth bomber flew over the Rose Bowl. Okay, I'll tell you right now, that blew me away. When I saw that, because he took that thing low over the rim and dipped the wing, and then it's like, oh, man.
Well, what I was getting at, with the
Star-Spangled Banner and the Irish National Anthem, that was very moving, very moving.
Well, what it said is, up until then, I thought Whitney Houston did the best.
Yeah.
Until last Saturday.
Well, good. That's great.
Now, going on to a sad part of life, and with Bob Buehner in the house, he can answer me this particular question. If somebody, an individual, was molested by said individual back in 2008, how long does he have to report it before it's no longer worthy of being charged?
Is there a statute of limitations?
The statute of limitation was changed a few years ago, Dave, here in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. And the statute of limitations for a crime does not start until the child reaches the age of 18. And then, depending on the nature of the crime or the acts alleged, dictates what the statute of limitations is. Yeah. So let's just say the child was 6 years old. the statute would not start until 12 years later, and then it's so many years based on the crime.
Okay, well...
That's your answer.
Because I don't know how old the individual was, because it was 2008, and because it was either 2008 or 2009. The individual wasn't sure, Bob. You might...
That's a very common thing.
Yeah, but what I was getting at was he used the... Coastal Carolina, and Steve might be able to know, because I don't have anything right there to look at, when it was a home game for Penn State.
It's the opening game of 2008. It was the opening game of 2008.
Okay, well then, because the individual said it was either 2008 or 2009. And I heard it about 3 hours ago. It came across, the radio, WKOK, matter of fact, said about it.
Okay. Yeah, what you're talking about, Dave, is that there was an announcement, I think, made yesterday that a lawsuit had been filed against a variety of individuals, and including Penn State, for an incident which is alleged to have occurred. And this is after all the settlements have gone on, all the mediation, and all the things that Penn State proactively did to attempt to resolve the situation over Sandusky and the legal fallout thereof. And all of a sudden, this thing comes along kind of much late, obviously much later.
Yeah.
And we'll just have to let, and that's why we have a, that's why we have a court system to allow that. Each party will have a defendant who will have a chance to seek to have it dismissed for a variety of reasons.
Okay, well, let's just say when one individual can ruin a reputation of a whole lot of people by himself.
Well, I think we've been seeing that. Yeah, we've been seeing that.
Yeah, obviously. That's been a theme that's been played out here for in the last several years, Dave.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
It's one of those things where at some point that individual will have to come forward.
Yeah.
There'll be testimony, depositions under oath. There'll be various legal maneuverings by all sides.
Yeah.
And we'll learn a lot more about it. These things, when they're filed, Dave... The news media picks up on it, and then things happen in the lawsuit, and the media forgets about it until it goes away, or there's some kind of settlement, or it goes to trial. And we're a long way off from all of that.
I hear it all the time. It says you can indict a ham sandwich for anything.
That's true.
But I'm just saying.
You can sue anybody for anything.
They're supposed to do and beyond.
Yep.
And it shouldn't be... be drudged up again, personally. That's just the way I viewed it.
But I think a lot of people probably share those sentiments, but let's give everybody their day in court as well.
Yeah, so.
The individual's entitled to his day in court.
All right. Well, eventually, we'll see eventually if that even happens.
Right.
So we'll find out.
That you have on, and you can pass on the next time you talk to Merle Reese.
Yeah.
I have a son, he's in October, he'll be 23.
Uh-huh.
And I told him, I told him who I rooted for and why. But I never made him root forever, whoever I rooted for. I said, hey, you can root forever you want to. He just happens to root for all Philly teams.
Right. Good.
And then I root for Buffalo, Montreal. I'm
sure,
all over the board.
Exactly. No, to each his own.
I told him, hey, I gave him the what I viewed as a fundamental thing about don't just push your team down somebody's throat. Let them decide on their own.
Exactly.
Dave,
thanks so much. Appreciate the time very much, Dave. All right. 800-795-9565. You'd like to jump in. He's exactly right. That's why I've been very interested. And really, what Dave talked about matches up with what I talked about a month ago. We were talking about soccer and going through the World Cup. And, you listen to some shows now, and they'll say, baseball, they're down. Soccer's the new thing. People have got to get on board. It's the new wave. And they'll think, and golf, come on, look how the participation's down. The course is closed. To each his own.
Sure.
Right? You don't sit there and say, you watch soccer? I'm glad that they enjoy a sport. Just like if someone said, Fashion Week is coming up in New York, for example. Well, let's face it,
to a lot of people, and especially women, that's a big deal. What's coming out of there? Now, is it our cup of tea? No, but I think it's great that you have an interest that's healthy and strong and enjoying it. And so, you know, if you love golf, you love soccer, you love baseball, whatever, I don't care. As long as you're enjoying something that's fun and passionate and not harming anyone.
And, you know, people have so many options today for a variety of reasons. Steve, on early Saturday morning about 2 a.m., I'm going to be on the Internet listening to my favorite rugby team, the New Zealand All Blacks.
Right.
They're going to be in my adopted city of Napier, New Zealand, playing the Pumas from Argentina. And I'm going to be in heaven until I get up and get on the road to Penn State. But there are many options and choices people have with sports, with life. It's never been more.
And last week when we were went through the Irish hurling demonstration, I'd watched it on Wild World of Sports several times years ago and loved watching it. Thought it was one of the more fun games that I watched. Now to get out there and the participation of it, and I had a blast doing this. And then when they did it at halftime, I could see why it's the number one sport in Ireland. That's their, you know, that's their sport. They love it. And it's just different times, different cultures.
Sure.
But again, it's healthy, it's fun, and I think that's the best part of it. We were talking earlier about Barb and Shemokin. She said, do you think the human interest stories and background info might be done to appeal to the women in the viewing audience? And we talked about this earlier. I think Barb is spot on, and that is an important part of it. And we pointed out in the Ray Rice story that, you know, Ray Rice, for example, to me, that was that what Roger Goodell did was an affront to a growing football audience out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Barb is spot on. Now, again, different tastes for different people. I want the game, right? But if it makes, you know, I'm going to see the game regardless.
Exactly.
It's right there in front of me. And if that's a way to appeal to other people to get into it, I understand exactly where Barb's coming from. I usually understand where Tony from Shemokin's coming from. Hi, Tony.
1994 team's going to be amazing.
Colorado.
But no, was it Colorado? They were 0-9.
Okay. I'm wrong. You're right. I think you're talking about how they almost stubbed their toe against Iowa State. Colorado was their biggest win of the year. That was their biggest win of the year. Was Colorado?
Right. Well, if they play Iowa State, who was 0-9, and they just barely beat them at the end of that.
And to not say, you know what, because Ohio State was the 14th ranked team in the country. To sit there and watch that and not vote them number one, you know, I don't really have a lot of respect for your vote at that point. It was 0-9 coming in and Penn State whacked them. And they got crushed.
They were fourth rated defense and get crushed that way.
Exactly.
And, another thing about these victims, are we going to hear about these to like, for the next 20 years?
Well, you know what?
Besides, once they're a victim, and is Penn State going to make them go to trial, or are they going to settle out of court?
Well, any true victim I have deep and incredible sympathy for, and any true victim I have deep and incredible sympathy for their family, their friends, and so forth. So I'll always keep that in mind, and I'm going to try and stay away from a blanket statement. And the big part for me is, Tony, I'm going to get ready for Akron on Sunday.
Saturday. Hey, have a good game.
I appreciate it, Tony. Thanks so much, my friend. Thank you. Brian in Elysburg is next. Hi, Brian. It's great to hear from you. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, it was a great game last week, and I never drink warm beer in my life, and you got that right. Well, if they would have lost, I would have started drinking warm beer, but oh well, let's move along. Hey, if I remember correctly, didn't Joe Paterno make up national championship rings for them?
Yeah, he did, and he also did that for the 73 team as well.
That's right. The one thing I could say is that I wish I could be there Saturday, because I was there in 94 when they blew out Rutgers 55-14, and I never saw so many Rutgers fans get back on the bus crying. Boy, it was a hot day that day, too. I remember being there. So that was before the stadium was what it is now, and that was great. I had a great time, and that was the most enjoyable time I ever had a football game. Don't get me wrong. I still, you know, enjoy going to the other games, but that was the most my nephew, this is when they were doing their construction he couldn't believe the guys were coming off, Clint Holes and all them, you know, remember back then?
Right,
I was
yes.
naming everybody who was coming off the bus, and one kid was looking next to me, and he says, how do you know all that? And I said, well, yeah, you know, you got things to do, you study them. You know, like people study other stuff, I study that stuff. So,
hey, that's
and
cool.
A lot of people could say about the same thing about this year's team. It's pretty cool, and I just hope and pray that everybody stays healthy and we come out with a win Saturday. And, Steve, hopefully I get to see you on September 20th because I'm coming out there to see him play Massachusetts.
Oh, great. I hope so, Brian. We'll be outside the Jordan Ticket Center before the game, 90 minutes before kickoff,
yeah.
and I would love to see you, Brian.
I know where you
Thank
are. And the other thing is, it was always great, and I hope it doesn't happen the next time. Well, if it's just regular time there, that's when we have a 3:30 game, I have to listen to the pregame show while going to work. But it was fun to hear the national anthem at 7 in the morning. So thank you very much.
Yeah, that was different, wasn't it? Yeah, that was different.
Oh, yeah, it was a
no
good
question.
Yep.
Hey, Brian.
All right, buddy. You take care, man, and God bless you. And it was great to talk to you again, Steve. And it's always good to have football back in the air. And let's hope all the NFL teams in the area do well this year. That's why I wish everybody. Okay?
Well, Brian, it's great to talk with you, and I can't wait to see you in a couple weeks. All right, we'll come back, wrap it up in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Well, the 94 team will be here on Saturday. Undefeated, untied, nationally unappreciated, and in this state forever appreciated. So.
Were they the most prolific offense in Penn State history?
God.
Like by leaps and bounds over any other team?
The most prolific offense in the history of college football. They could do everything.
That Ohio State game, 63-14, was amazing.
Yeah.
Well, you won't have to worry about polls anymore, will you?
We've got Condoleezza Rice picking the top four teams in the country.
Why do we even have a top 25 poll right now? It doesn't matter.
So we can talk about it.
You're really kind of a bitter guy, aren't you?
Just asking a question.
Just came off as bitter.
Yeah. I think he's bitter about having to turn in the Ford F-150 back to Sunbury Motors tomorrow.
Manly, gone.
I'm getting comfortable in it, I'm telling you.
Manly, gone.
And Kevin, don't forget to roll back the mileage before you turn it in.
Oh, no.
Just saying, Kevin.
Bob, I need a good lawyer. You know where I can find one?
Yeah, I'm there for you, buddy. I'm there.
Oh, boy.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.